of hatred to prove that he is not a murderer, and that melting tenderness with which he kisses his old friend and his early love and passes quietly away from life. Such was the range and power of Dickens as an actor. When he came to write A Tale of Two Cities, he had been giving readings of A Christmas Carol at charity events up and down the country, to the astonishment and delight of huge audiences, astounded by his gift of characterization and deeply moved by his emotional intensity. So by the time he started to write the tale, he was at full theatrical throttle. He was also, at the age of 48, in a highly volatile state personally. His marriage to Catherine Dickens had broken down in a morass of recrimination, in which Dickens had behaved appallingly, making public statements against her, which shocked even hardened journalists. This favourite of the public informs some hundreds of thousands of readers that the wife whom he has vowed to love and cherish has utterly failed to discharge the duties of a mother, and he further hints that her mind is disordered, thundered the Liverpool Mercury. If this is manly consideration, we should like to be favoured with a definition of unmanly selfishness and heartlessness. The breakdown of his marriage had been precipitated by his falling in love with the young professional actress, 18-year-old Ellen Ternan, who played the small part of Lucy Crayford in the Manchester production of The Frozen Deep. This, of course, had to be concealed from the public. It is unlikely that the relationship was consummated for some time after Dickens's public denunciation, which provided another source of tension and frustration. Many of his friendships, moreover, had collapsed when certain of his circle had failed to support him publicly. Among the relationships that soured was that with his otherwise admirable publishers Bradbury and Evans, who stopped Dickens from publishing his statement about the breakdown of his marriage in their magazine Punch. He immediately severed relations with them. This meant the end of Household Words, the magazine of which he was editor, and in which many of his novels had been serialized. Not content with leaving Bradbury and Evans, he set up a new magazine. With careful calculation, he found premises for it just two doors down from the Household Words office. The title he eventually settled on for his new magazine was All the Year Round, and the first edition kicked off in cracking form with the first instalment of A Tale of Two Cities. The success was phenomenal. It was deeply satisfying revenge, served up, as proverbially recommended, cold, with Dickens in icy control throughout. It was also savage and unjustified, a naked imposition of Dickens's will and entirely disproportionate to the offence. Bradbury and Evans had been very good publishers, both of the novels and of the magazine. Pathetically, they tried to create a rival magazine once a week. It failed. It is possible to see in these circumstances the source of the violence in A Tale of Two Cities, which is so vividly and shockingly realised. The only comparable scenes in Dickens's output are the startling sequences depicting the Gordon riots in London in Barnaby Rudge of nearly 20 years earlier, his only other historical novel, a book which also, curiously enough, arose from his fury with his publisher of the time. So A Tale of Two Cities has another dualism to offer, the contrast within Dickens himself, the benevolent, the mirth-making, the socially committed Dickens, versus the angry, the vengeful, the callous, the unfeeling Dickens. As with any great writer, all the currents of his inner life are brought to bear in his work. His secret love for Ellen Ternan is commemorated in the book in the impossibly idealized figure of Lucy Manette, her first name a gallicized version of Ellen's character in The Frozen Deep. There is not on earth a more virtuous and spotless creature than that young lady, wrote Dickens in condemnation of rumours about his relationship with Ellen. Similar accounts of Lucy litter A Tale of Two Cities from beginning to end. Young women are generally scrubbed and sanctified in Dickens, never admired more than when they weep. We have to endure them as best we may. But the price of Dickens's focus on story is the absence of those expansive characters, the ones to whom we give the name Dickensian, with their extraordinary verbal arias and physical barnacles. This is Dickens on a very tight leash. Only in the figure of Jerry